speak a little bit here for a few minutes about this kapitel. This particular kina, at the very beginning throughout, is really megalava oimek, the shirish of all the avelas of Tisha B'Av and all the gagun of this day. Loza Kalir says, Adad Chug Shamayim, Adad Chug Shamayim. If I could only soar to the highest heaven. Adad Chug Shamayim, the Kalir saying, if I could only fly up to the highest heaven, with this kina, with these words that I want to say, Ali Iti Shamayim, that I would make Shemayim, I would make the heavens cry together with me and lament together with me. That's how strong this kina, if only I could take this kina to Shemayim, all the way up to Shemayim, that Kivyochel, the Rabbi Shalom, would cry together with me. And what is it, what is the kina that the Kalir wants to take all the way to Shemayim, to cause Kivyochel to cry himself? Adve b'chalev lahamtzi'ehu. Different translations, it's hard, the words are very hard. I would cause my heart to grow faint with my struggle, with my effort to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have himself, or to make himself available to me. Lahamtzi'ehu. Adve b'chalev lahamtzi'ehu. Eda milin bam lam seyu. If I would only have the words, if I would only be able to speak the words, Eda milin bam lam seyu. Different things lam seyu, to strengthen my own heart lam seyu, to kivyochel Hashem is baruch. What the Kalir is saying over here is that my heart is broken, as we spoke a little bit about last night. My heart is broken with gagum, with a longing, lahamtzi'ehu. Sure, those of you who have been here on Yom Nirayim remember that a number of times over the years I mentioned how after the Muhammad, it was by Hashanah Rabbah, the Satmar of Susa Yelenu, right after the Milchama, and he had a small minion of the Shevis HaPleita gathered around him, and the Satmarov cried out, Rebbeinu Shlom, all of us here know that you're in this room, we know that you're here with us, but Higolana, make yourself known to us. Hareinos Kvedecha. The Kalir in this capital, in this kina, is saying that the underlying pain of all of kinas, as I spoke about last night, and the whole day of Tisha B'Av, is that there's this terrible feeling of God's absence from our lives. The Beis Hamikdash wasn't a building. It's that keshet, that hiskashet that we had with the Baruch Shalom. That any time that a person, the rest of the world, the whole world is all has to upon him. Here and there a person is able to have his eyes opened, but there's one place in the world where a person would go, and when a Yid would walk into that place, it would be so clear to him. In that place there was no hest upon him. And in the absence of that place, there is this terrible feeling of the Baruch Shalom's absence from our lives. So he says, Edog aye royev layamsayu. The Kalir says, I would worry, I'm worried. Edog, I want to go up to Shemayim and to cry out and say, I would worry. Aye roe, where is the shepherd? Velo emsayu. I can't find him. Akainain mi ten yadati ve emsayu. I would lament, I would cry out. Mi ten yadati ve emsayu. If I only knew some way to find him, because my life without him is empty. Rabbi Yosher Bezeich, Chasak Bevrocha, compared this kina of the kalir to the words of Slichus that we're much more familiar with. The words of Himotzei Lanu Bebakash Aseinu. Himotzei Lanu Bebakash Aseinu means let yourself be found for us. Himotzei Lanu Bebakash Aseinu. In other words, in Slichus, just like here in Kinas, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make your presence known to us when we're searching for you. That in the endless search of a person and of Knesset Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking Hashem Yisbaruch, Himotzei Lanu Bebakash Aseinu, that the Baruch Hu should let himself be found. We want to feel the Baruch Hu's nearness. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that at the end of Golos, Batzar Lecha Mitzaucha, Batzar Lecha, that the time is going to come, like we heard last night, the younger Rebbe said that the time would come that it would be the most horrible hest upon him of all. And at that time of Batzar Lecha Mitzaucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised that you would be found, that we'd be able to find you. But as the years go by, we feel less and less connected. Therefore, the Kalir is saying, Adva b'chol leiv. Adva is a lotion of the keenness that we see from Yirmiyahu all the time uses, as we just saw in Haftar, Libi davoy. Libi davoy, that my heart is sick. That because of my aveiros, that because of our aveiros, nistalka shechina le'elyoinim, that the Shechina HaKadosh has had to retreat from this world and from my life. And therefore we lost him. He was in this world. The Baruch Shalom was here in this world. And even each and every one of us felt him so closely before we came into this world. And Adam and Chava, the same way with Adam and Chava when they were in Gan Eden, through the chait, through the sin. So it says over there in Pasuk that Hashem was mishalich begun, that the voice of Hashem was walking through the garden. Chazal say mistalek min hagan, mishalich begun. If you look in the Mefarshim, there's a very big machlokes among the Mefarshim of how to translate, of how to explain that the voice of Hashem is mishalich begun, mishalich begun. So Chazal say in the Medrash mistalek min hagan, it was walking away from Gan Eden. It was leaving Gan Eden. That means that the Baruch Hu was once so close to us, but we lost him because we have a problem keeping him. We have a problem. We don't know how to hold on to the Baruch Hu. And this is at the beginning of Kinnis, because this is the side of the entire Indian of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But since the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has surrounded himself in secrecy and in mystery. And that's why it says in the Medrash Yerushirim, Lovash Asara Levusha, that since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaShem Baruch Hu is covered with 10 garments. And even though the Tanya says that when a person embraces the king, even though the king is wearing many, many garments, nevertheless, the person is sof kol sof holding the king. So the Tanya says that the ikir amuna v'yid is to know that when we're davening, when we're calling out Hashem Zbarach, and when we're kaim the mitzvahs of Hashem, learning his Torah, that it's a bechina of embracing the king, that we're holding the king. But we don't feel that. Because Chazal say, Lovash Asara Levushim, because the king is wearing so many layers of garments, all the layers of this world, all the hestaponim of this world. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, even though when a person during the time of the Beis HaMikdash would go away, would go out of Eretz Yisrael, would go far away, It would be hard to see the Baruch Shalom in those places. But when a person would come to Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash was Mochim L'Shivtecha, the Beis HaMikdash was the place of the Shechanti B'Soicham, That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu's garments were removed, kivyachal. And the Churban Beis Hamikdash was that bittel of Shechina B'Sachtayim. And therefore, in the 12th Kina, which we're going to say in a few minutes, the whole 12th Kina, Aholi Asher Ta'avta Adloi Bereishis, that's the Kina on page 194, every single paragraph in that capital on page 194, capital Yud Beis, every single paragraph ends with the same words. And now, what have I here? The next paragraph. Mali didi po. What is my beloved doing here? Va'aye ivui moishav po. What has become of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to be here in this place? Malachapai, Amilachapai. Every single paragraph ends with the word po. Because the whole tachlis of creation, the whole tachlis of creation is summed up in that one word, po. Here. Of Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyeshla Yisbarach Dir B'Sachtoinim. For the Baruch Shalom's tachlis in the creation of the world, as Chazal tell us in the Tanchuma, it is Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyeshla Yisbarach Dir B'Sachtoinim. The Baruch Shalom, for whatever reason, the Baruch Shalom expressed his desire, Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu, expressed his desire to be po. To be here in this world, to be with us in this world. And even though sometimes we could feel each person in his own life at a different time, sometimes by a very big simcha, sometimes lo'aleinu by the opposite of a simcha, sometimes a person is zoicha to be in a makom kaddish in Eretz Yisrael, or by the tzion of a tzaddik, sometimes for a second a person can feel that po, that here, that hereness, that closeness, that Kadosh Baruch Hu. What we say in Slichas, what we're saying, we're going to say in a minute in this kina, this rotzen himotze lano bebakasha seino. Is that we're saying, Baruch Shalom, there have been so many times in the history of Knesset Yisrael that we had you, that the po was felt, and then something happened, something went wrong each time, and you slipped away. Like the Shechina is described, we'll see, also we're going to see in that Kina, the Shechina is described like a bird, like a tzipa, that's noide, that's wandering and jumping from one rooftop to another rooftop, that flutters and flies and goes to different places and stops for a minute. We're going to see that in the Kina soon. How the Shechina is compared to a tzipa, to a bird. All the things that we read about by the Avos HaKadoshim, when we read Sefer Bereishis, and when the Sporlum, when Misragish, each time again and again, how the Baruch Shalom spoke to the Avos and the Imahis, how he lived with them kivyachol pai, how the light of the Shechina was shining in the tent of Sarimeinu, and all of the stories of the Shvatim, of the Avos, the Imahis, and the Shvatim. And all of that was to bring us to the Madrega, that finally we should be able to come to Matan Torah. But before we came to Matan Torah, the Shechina was nostalgia. As Chazal tells, the Shechina ascended and left the tent of the Shvatim. And the whole Golus of Yosef at Tzadik. And then ultimately, the Shivim Nefesh that came down to Mitzrayim. And again, during that time, the terrible feeling of Hestaponim, of distance. Until Sof Kol Sof, with the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zogila Shechina, the Gevaldige Gila Shechina that took place by Yitzias Mitzrayim, and all the excitement that was leading up to Matan Torah, to Maimon HaSinai. And we had the Shechina B'Sachtoinim, the Shechina descended Vayered Hashem, and the Baruch Shalom came down to us by HaSinai, and we were like a kala by the chuppah, and the chosn, the mysterious chosn, who always was wearing so many levushim, he was covered with so many coverings, so many levushim. Finally, the chasm was by the chuppah. Then what happened by the chuppah is, vayla luva, what a bush and a cherpa. The Klai Yisrael caused the chasm, caused the barisham kivyachol to run away from the chuppah. Lo is a bush, lo is a cherpa. That the chasm ran away because of the cheta egel. And we were crying out, we had this Shechina Kedosha for a moment, po, here. All of this is the side that Shlomo HaMelech describes in the Megillah of Gagum of Longing, called Daidi Daifeg, Pischili Achaisi Rayosi Tamasi. Klai Yisrael at different times has felt the voice of the beloved knocking, Kol Daidi Daifeg. And there's a gewaldige Hesairus at those times. At those times, we see that the Kadmonim, even the Rambam was so against Chishev HaKeitz, even the Rambam wrote so strongly against any calculations. We also have from the Rambam times that he spoke of, times of potential redemption of Geula. And times where the tzipa, the bird, was atat, was just ever so gently above her nest. And the Klai Yisrael felt poi. A little bit we felt, or a lot, there was a feeling of poi. And called Daidi Daifeg. And the Shechina Kadosha was crying out, Pischi li achaisi rayosi tamosi. The Shechina Kadosha, just like she did by Marmon HaSinai, cried out, Pischi li achaisi rayosi tamosi. Because the Shechina Kadosha from time to time in the life of Knesset Yisrael knocks on the door. And in the life of each and every one of us, there are times that we feel Kol Daidi Daifek Pischi L'Achaisi Rayasi. And the Baruch Shalom at those moments is saying, Ani Pai, I am here. And it's such a craziness, but this is how, as a people and as and each and every one of us, whatever that shigon that takes over of the insanity of atzlus, of laziness, that Shlomo Melech describes in Shir Shirim, and we're tired, or we're afraid of what it means, and we hesitate, and we don't open the door for the Shechina Kedosha. And the way that Shlomo Melech says, Atche Kamti, and Brach Doidi, that just when we felt a little bit, just when we felt Pai, and we heard the Kol Daidi knocking, but we didn't know how to hold on to the Beloved. And that's the history of our people, and it's the history of you and I, each and every one of us in our lives. We know, every person that's here knows, that's exactly how we live our lives. Kol Daidi Daifeg. There's something that happens. Sometimes a person, Lo Aleinu, goes through a terrible, terrible tzar, Hashem Yirachem, goes through some tzars. And he feels at that time so helpless and so insecure and so in need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like the Kaliyah says over here, Rabbi Shalom, Akrenin, Ale Iti Shemayim, I'm trying so hard. Adva B'chalev Laham Tzeyehu, Eda Milin Bom Laham Tzeyehu, Rabbi Shalom, I'm trying to find the words of davening, the words of tshuva. La'am tseyu means to hold tight. La'am tseyu, to hold on tight. Because each and every person, each and every one of us has felt times when the Baruch Shalom was close. And for whatever reason, we didn't hold on tight. Achas tiv layar penu, it says in Shir Shirim. Achastif, to hold on tight, lo arpenu, and not to let go. And that's what we just said in the seventh kina, in the last kina. And here again, just to the teachings of Rabbi Yosef Ber, he says such a beautiful thing. We said in the last kina. V'loizacharta v'isug v'yud vesek veses ashev yadda levu'udecha. V'loizacharta v'isug v'yud vesek veses ashev yadda levu'udecha. There are words here that we're familiar with. All of these words we know from halacha, a little bit from Tanakh, we're familiar with the words, but how the Python puts them together is very hard for us. But we're saying to the Baruch Shalom like this, Lo zacharta visuk, like vasikin. Visuk means something that's very old, something that's very ancient. Viud, va'ad, avad, means to get together. Lo zacharta, you didn't remember the Baruch Shalom, you're not remembering. Here, the Mekainain turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says to the Baruch Shalom the following. We have a problem. Our problem is that when the Shekhinah Kadosh comes into our lives, we let go. We don't hold on tightly. And he disappears. But the Baruch Shalom, we have kivyochel a complaint very respectfully and with great fear. A complaint that we'd like to formally lodge with you. And there are many daring things that the Kaliyah talks about, and the other Paitanim talk about, many, many daring things. Some people have over the years mentioned to me how they're shocked by some of the things that they've seen in the Eish Kodesh from the Holy Piasetzna, things that he spoke about and he screamed about during the Milchama. And the emes is that there's a long, long Messiah of big tzaddikim whose hearts were exploding with emunah, who cried out from a place of emunah. This goes back to the Nevi'im. This is not something which is new. People like us, of course, are afraid that we're not worthy. But the Mekaini in the Kaliyah says, Lo zacharta visuk viyud vesek veses. A veses, again, the word vituk vesek means something which is old. But the word veses we know from halacha. From the halachas of Vestas. Avestas means an appointment, an appointed time, a set time, like in halacha, in Hilchas Nida. In the halachas of Vestas. It means where there's a set, appointed, expected time. That's called Avestas. L'zacharta visuk viud vesek vesas asher viyadata levi'udecha. Which means you didn't remember the ancient rendezvous, the ancient appointment that you had made from time to time, Ashaviyatil Udakha, with the ones who get together with you. Therefore, Kaineinu, we cry out, Zichor Hashem, Mehayalanu, remember Rabbi Shalom, look what's become with us. Which means Rabbi Shalom, it used to be in our lives, in the life of Klal Yisrael, that it's true. That you didn't have bad memory and we would dray around the world and we'd walk away from Beis HaMikdash. When we were Beis HaMikdash, there was a visuk, viyud, vesek, veses, a sheviatl of Yudacha. Yerael's Shalosh Pa'am Mashon, no matter what, he would come to Beis HaMikdash and he would see that there would be the ancient appointment. The old appointment, the rendezvous with the Shechina Kivyachal. Where a Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and from time to time, Elish, Shalosh, Palma, Vashana, Yerah, Kol, Schor, Chespnei, Ha'adin, Hashem, that that person would be able to at least come into the Beis HaMikdash, and there would be a set time, there would be an appointment, Kivyachal, with the Bari Olam. Because the Metzias of a Jew, the Metzias of a Jew is somebody who has a rendezvous, who has an appointment from time to time at Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Baruch Shalom set up through the Chachamim, that we have Shachris Mincha Maariv. So Shachris Mincha Maariv, Shachris Davening means that the way the Jew, and this of course Rabbi Yashabeh spoke so much about Nisha Halach and all of his Mamorim, he himself was such an Isha Halacha. The person of Halacha is a person whose entire life is spent in anticipation of those appointed times. And Oy Vavoy, if you're late, because the Baruch Shalom says, I'm waiting for you in Shul. And as a Sayyid Zman Krishma, I give you a little bit of a chance, I give you some time to come. But there's a Zman Shachris, there's a Zman Mincha, there's a Zman Maariv, there are set times. There's Shabbos, there's Yom Tovim, there's Reish Chadoshim. Those are appointments. Visug, Viyud, Vesek, Veses. Those are Vestes that a Jew has with the Kivyocha, with the Shechinah Kedoshim.
appointed time. So the Baruch Shalom says, I'm here. And that's the teva of a Jew, even though it's true that a person can't live like that every minute of his life. Only big tzaddikim that live every second in a way of shivisi. Every single second they're in a way of dveikus b'Hashem, of kirvus elokim. Big tzaddikim live like that. But the Baruch Shalom set up our lives in such a way where there are vestas, where there are set appointed times to meet Him. So the Paitan is saying over here, V'loi Zacharta. V'loi Zacharta, we're only allowed to talk this way because the Kaliyah talks this way, and he taught us that it's the Ratzon Hashem that we speak this way. Otherwise, we're not allowed to open our mouths, so who are we to say anything about the Borei Olam? But if the Kaliyah says, V'loi Zacharta, Rabbi Yerushalayim, you haven't remembered. It's true that we are people with short memories. And we also don't have a good grip on the Shechina. We don't hold tight to the Shechina. I remember when I was in high school, I was only for 3 weeks on the football team. Two-hand touch we played every day, Shachas Mincha Maariv. But tackle's a serious thing. Kaidim Kol I had to among my parents for the money to go to Corvettes, so wherever we went in those days, Alexander's are one of those places, and to buy the whole uniform, which almost caused my mother to leave the world when she saw me putting it on. And I walked out with the whole thing, which is, everybody knows, the only reason that we wanted to play was just that look. And then, you know, we had, the yeshiva had a league. It was only for a short time. We made a big mistake because we took one or two schools into the league. They took in that weren't really like regular yeshivas. They were like day schools, and they were very, very big. In the yeshivas, everybody was small, except we had one guy that was big. But in the day schools, everybody was big. So we had this football league, and the yeshiva even took a guy to be a coach, to teach us and to make all kinds of hachanas, you know, made speeches and all things to get us ready for the games. And I was a wide receiver. That was my job. I never expected to get tackled. I really just wanted to catch the ball. I was good at that, and to run. I didn't want anybody to touch me. And I was fast and I could jump in those days. But I realized over a few weeks that they catch you and they hurt you. So that's when I retired. But the coach said to me, Maish, no matter what happens to you, don't let go of the football. That's the verb, right? Because these guys are very, very rough. The guys from the day school. They're not B'nai Torah. And because of that, they're going to do everything they can to get you to fumble. And you have to be Maisa Nefesh. She said to me in Lashon HaKodesh, you have to be Maisa Nefesh to hold on to the football. So I said, okay, I'm serious Nefesh, and I tried so hard, you know, to be Maisa Nefesh, and you get, like, you know, the whole team jumping on you, and they're going to punch you, and they try to get the ball out. The important things in life that are infinitely more important than holding on to a silly thing. Silly things we know how to hold on to. But to the Shechina Kadosha, it's true that we don't hold on tightly as a people and as individuals. But we have, the Mekainen is lodging a complaint, respectfully, in the Eimu B'Yira with the Bari Eilon. And that complaint is V'lo Zacharta. You kivyochol, you're not remembering. And again, we're just saying what the Kaliyah is saying. That Rabbi Shalom, you haven't remembered the old rendezvous either. You haven't kept your appointments either. Because sof kol sof, everybody that's here gets up every morning, sometimes a couple minutes late,
But every morning, each and every one of us gets up and puts on talis and tefillin. Nobody here says that I'm not keeping my appointment, I'm not davening today. Everybody here davens mincha, davens ma'ariv. Everybody comes to shul, Roshoni Yom Kippur, everybody comes to Kol Nidrei, everybody comes to Sukkos, everybody shows up at the Seder, we all show up at the Seder. Everybody shows up by shofar blowing. Everybody here is going to show up on time. Again, sometimes a person's a little bit, but everybody comes and shows up for the appointments. But the Kalir is saying a terrible thing here, and this is the bakasha that the Kalir has when he says, "If I could fly up to Shemayim, I would want to say this to you, Baruch Shalom." Even though our hearts are so dull, so we don't feel anymore, we don't feel your presence. We come to shul, we don't feel that you're here. We're asking you. We're going to come to Slichus in a few weeks. We don't feel, we're going to say the words, like I said last night, like the little boy that says Kaddish, we don't feel what we're saying. But L'chol HaPachas, we show up. We show up. We come for the appointment. We're here by the Vesas. And we're asking you, Rabbi Shalom, there should be Pai. Yeroa kol zechorcha. Es pnei ha'odin Hashem. That help us to feel that you're here. That you should show up at this appointment, at these appointments that we make with you. I want to share with you, and then we'll continue, to share with you, there's a book of poems that I try to look at once every week or two. It's actually an old friend of mine from the neighborhood that I grew up in, that he was the editor of this book of poems. This was published around a year and a half ago. Do you remember 2 years ago? Do you remember what happened in Gush Katif? It was Tisha B'Av. It's so hard to believe, 2 years. And you know that Ruba de Ruba, the lives of those Sadiqim and Sadkonias, their lives, Ruba de Ruba, are not better now than then. We were all shaking and angry and screaming and crying because of the pictures, the images of the gerush, of the expulsion. I don't know how many of us are thinking just day to day how those Jews are living quiet lives of desperation, in horrible conditions, in terrible, terrible places, and even those few who have managed to move someplace and to come somewhere. It's a broken homes, many of the children, the chinuch of the children, and shalom bayis and yonim, because the panos, there's no panos. It's 2 years ago. So there were Yidden that wrote poems. Yidden from Gush Katif that wrote poems. It's an unbelievable cipher. I have it upstairs, I'll be happy to show you the chair. So the poems are written in Lashon HaKodesh. And Lashon HaKodesh are much more beautiful, but they were translated into English also. Each one opposite on the same page. The name of the cipher is called Sir Kisufim. This is like a new Tehillim, not to replace the old one, Chalila. But a new Tehillim, that these Yidden were writing these tefillas, the poems, the tefillas, that they wrote in those fiery days 2 years ago. See, here's a Yid, his name is Benny Sapir, I don't know him. Let me just share this tefillah with you. Rabbanu Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Afur Afurim Chayim, he probably says it Afur Afurim, but the correct way to read it is Afur Afurim Chayenu. Our lives are overwhelmingly gray. Va'onu mitzapim Anu mitzapim liverakcha. Listen to these words. And we await your glow, Barak. Va'anu mitzapim liverakcha. Not the other Barak, v'shleitzach. We're waiting for your glow. Va'anu mitzapim liverakcha. La'amud eish v'lapidim. You know what we're waiting for? He says, our lives are overwhelmingly gray. We await your glow. La'amud eish v'lapidim. A pillar of fire and torches. You remember, Baruch from Zacharta? You remember all the... There's a lot of good publicity in the Chumash. There's a lot of good stuff in Tanakh. La'amud eish v'lapidim. A pillar of fire and torches. My father's old Gezun Zayim. Remember, I mentioned it before. He told me, he remembers when they were in the last days of the Milchama, when they were, my father says, when the Germans weren't even killing them anymore. They didn't have to. They didn't give them anything. They didn't even give them that chunk that they used to give them once a day. My father said it was filled with things that we can't even talk about, what they put in there. But at least they had something in their mouths. So at the end of the Milchama, the Germans weren't giving them anything. My father said that he remembers weeks before the end. I don't remember what he told me exactly how long, but it was a while before the liberation. My father said every day there were American planes and Russian planes flying over the concentration camp. Every day. Flying low. Oh, not stop. They saw. My father said you could see the faces of the boys in the plane. That's how low they were flying. And the Germans were all running for cover. My father said that they used to stand, they would say, no, drop a bomb on this place. Something, do something here. And my father said that the pain that they experienced, they had stopped feeling already a while before that. But when that started again, when the plane started coming over, my father said the feeling was like, you can't, Kivyochel, send one just to land over here. Do something. So this Yid Beni is saying, La'amud eish lapidim, this is what we're awaiting. We're awaiting your glow, a pillar of fire and torches. La'anan kvoidcha sheniglesa, your cloud of honor in which you are revealed. Rav Shlomo, you remember how you met us in the Midbar? You remember that you met us with fire and torches and a cloud of glory, you remember? Benny says, and what do we have in this world? Tachlifim. What does it mean, tachlifim? Substitutes. Tmuros, he translates here as compensations. They thought they were going to get compensations. They never got compensations either. What do we have over here in this world? Not fire, not torches, not cloud of glory. Tachlifim and tmurai, substitutes, compensations. V'chalufei chalifim onumakablam. Chalufei chalifim, all kinds of, he says here, and proxies we receive. All kinds of chalufei chalifim that are supposed to represent you, or that you're sending in place of yourself. In other words, you're not coming to take care of us. Who are you sending? You're sending Chalufei Chalifim, who didn't come either. Shelrash, he says. Shelrash, Shelmila Mikutos. He says, a thunder of disjointed words. That's what we're getting. A thunder of disjointed words. Ve'emas Hashimum. And the dread of boredom that we live with. The dread of boredom. No more the excitement of Parshas Boy and Parshas B'Shalach. Ve'emas Hashimum, the dread of boredom. Ve'emas Habedidus, the dread of loneliness. Kol Elu Memalim Es Olameinu, all of these are what fill our world. Anu Miyachalim, we yearn. Utsmeyim. We yearn and we long for the truth of your presence.
That's what the Kalir is saying here also. We believe that all of these things are you. But right now, we don't have any... Our lives are overwhelmingly gray. And there's no glow, there's no pillar of fire, there's no clouds. There's boredom, there's loneliness, there's a thunder. Not the thunder of Maimon HaSinai, but the thunder of disjointed words. We yearn, we long for the truth of your presence. Shetemale yis eilameinu begila uveraada. For you to fill our world with delight and trembling, like you once did. Rakni tzaytzechad. So listen to what he cries out, this Yid. Rakni tzaytzechad, Rabbanu Shalom. He says, just one spark, Rabbanu Shalom. Rakni tzaytzechad, Rabbanu Shalom. Just one spark, Master of the Universe. Rakni la'achas. Doesn't have to be aseret hadibros. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be a whole speech. Rakni tzaytzechad. That's what my father is saying. Just one spark. Rak mila achas, just one word. V'sosir is kol emas habedidus, and you will banish all the dread of loneliness. As kol chavai hachidolain, and all the experience of chidolon means termination and death that I'm feeling now. V'hayasmus, and all the orphanhood that I'm feeling. Ana Hashem, please Hashem. Gale is or nuvoscha alavadacha. Reveal to your servant the light of your prophecy. Rabbi Shalom, remember Zacharta Vadvisuk. Remember how Rabbi Shalom, you would meet with certain great people from time to time and you would tell them things. Koyamar Hashem. So he says, Gale is or nuvoscha alavadacha. Reveal to your servant the light of your prophecy. Ana Hashem, please Hashem. Ha'er einenu v'niv Hashem. Please Hashem, bring light to our eyes and we'll be redeemed. We should be zeichu bez Hashem, all of those Yidden, together with all of us, for the Gula Hashlema. Adar chug shamayim, aliti shamayim. So the next kina, the next kapitel, we'll talk about for a few minutes. Shal Yisrufa Be'esh. Here the Rabbi Rutenberg is saying, Akina is crying, Akina. Torah, seek the welfare of your mourners. Shal Yisrufa Be'esh, the Torah by fire consumed, seek the welfare of your mourners, of those who yearn to live in the courtyard of your dwelling. The Torah is being called upon. The Torah herself should wake up and should cry out. How did it come to pass? It says later on, how did it come to pass? Holy Torah, we're talking to the Torah. That you who was given by Hashem, the all-consuming fire, should be consumed by man-made fires. And yet those alien intruders who burned you escaped unscathed from your flaming coals. So everybody knows that this kina was composed for the Sreifas HaTalmud, the burning of the Gemaras of the Talmud and other Sifrei Kodesh, not just the Gemaras, and other Sifrei Kodesh and Sifrei Torah that took place in Paris in 1242 in the Sparum. It's a kina from the Marami Rutenberg, who, as you know, also was from the Gedolei Rishonei Ashkenaz, the last from the end of the Bali Atosis, Marami Rutenberg. And this is a kina over the Churban of Torah, together with Arzei Halavonim that we said a few minutes ago, which is a kina over the murder and the death of tzaddikim in all generations. The Churban of Torah, of Sfarim Kedoshim and Sifrei Torah, that the church gathered together in the public square
from all of the villages and all of the towns, thousands and hundreds of thousands of Svarim, and burned them. It was burning for days. It's hard for us to be masig what that means. What was the Mahrami Rutenberg feeling? What did that mean to the Jews who were there at the time? You have to remember that they didn't have printed Svarim in those times. There were no Batei Tfus. There were no places to print Svarim. These were all handwritten manuscripts. Manuscripts that contained within the whole Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh. So when the Maharam Rutenberg saw this, and when he described this, when the Jews who were there lived through this, there was a pacha, there was a fear. Maharam Rutenberg was afraid. This was the churban of the entire Torah. How was the Torah going to be revived? The church sought out every printed, every handwritten piece of Torah, all the Shasim, and all the Sifrei Torah, and all the Midrashim, the entire Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh, whatever they can get their hands on. Many, 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 many cartloads are still found to this day, are buried in the catacombs of the Vatican. Ad Hayayim, it's part of the Cherpa of the Sreifas HaTorah of Shali Sufa Beish of Klai Yisrael, and the Cherpa of the Church, that Ad Hayayim, that there are thousands upon thousands, who knows how many Svarim, Kisvei Yad, are held captive, are captured there and trapped in the catacombs of the Tumah of all Tumas in Rome. Upon him, the Maharam Rutenberg, when he saw this, he was afraid that perhaps this, if not for the promise of Kilos Shakach mi Pizarro, that he saw the burning of the Svarim, that this could be the end of the whole Torah. What would be? How would this be saved? Of course, he knew that still there were Jews, there were Achein of Israel in Svardish countries that were still yet, that they had still their Messiah, and that there was still Torah to be found. But as far as all the Torah of the Bnei Ashkenaz and the Bali HaTosfos, all the Torah of Rashi, the Bali HaTosfos, which is invaluable for our understanding of Torah. So Maharam Rutenberg was crying, Shali Sufa Beish. The Shali Sufa Beish was a keen for the Torah and crying out to the Torah that was being burned, because without Torah Shebaal Peh there can't be any kiyum for Knesset Yisrael. The Jewish people are not a people without Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a remarkable sefer that was written a few years ago. It was published in Hebrew, Besesa Ram, Hidden in Thunder. It's been translated this past year in English and published by Meister Rav Kook. It was written by Professor Esther Farbstein, the daughter of a Choshev Rosh Yeshiva from Hevron, and on the other side from Gerich Sidim. A very, very, very brilliant woman, Esther Farbstein, wrote this sefer, Besesa Ram. It's kedai to get it if you can. Should be available, Meister Rav Kook. She goes through many documents and studies of that kufa of the most recent Shali Sufa Beish in the Holocaust. And she has an entire perek in the book, an entire chapter that's devoted to the subject of Shoyas HaSvarim. She calls it the Holocaust of Svarim. The Holocaust of Sifrei Kodesh. It's a whole chapter. Now this, as you all know, the burning of Svarim, the Germans' burning of Svarim, as you know, started before the time that they were burning bodies. As far back as 1935, there were small incidents even before that, smaller incidents, in different towns and villages, in Germany and Austria and in France. But in 1935, it began in earnest as a campaign, as a program to destroy Sefer Kodesh. I want to share with you a few excerpts from Farbstein's book to have a little bit of a hergish, a little bit of a feeling from something that happened in our parents' lifetime, of what that meant to the Yidden, of what that meant to the Yidden who were living through it. It was no coincidence that the 1935 burning of Jewish books in Germany marked a turning point in anti-Jewish activity. It's really when things began to move towards the final solution. It began with the Svarim and was repeated in various places. In 1941 and 1942, Rabbi Shimon Uberben, many of you are familiar with this remarkable person and the archives that he assembled in the ghetto. And we have much of what we know from that time is from the archives of Reb Shimon Uberben. So Reb Shimon writes over there, she quotes, "Hundreds of thousands of Jewish holy books have been destroyed during the current war, including many rarities, expensive manuscripts, and old valuable communal records. When the evil ones entered cities, they ripped to shreds, burned, and annihilated tens of thousands of books. In various provincial cities, there are still a few holy books somehow remaining. But the same cannot be said for the cities and towns from which Jews have been expelled. The holy books in those cities have been totally lost." The Nazis bragged about this. When they burned the big library of the Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva, this is what they wrote. This is found in a German newspaper, January 6, 1941. The German newspaper. "We took special pride," quoting the Nazis and Max Schumann, "we took special pride in destroying the biggest Talmudic center of all Polish yeshivas, which sent out rabbis to the Jews in all corners of the world. We brought the big library to the Lublin marketplace and set fire to it. For 20 hours the books burned. The Jews of Lublin gathered around the blazing books and wailed bitterly. We were almost deafened by their screams. So we brought the army orchestra to play our national songs extremely loudly, until the Jews' wailing was swallowed up in the pounding of the drums and the cheers of the soldiers." As Shmuel Rose, a survivor who had previously been at the Slobodka Yeshiva, this Reb Shmuel Rose was a Talmud from Slobodka, and he wrote the following: "That bitter day is still firmly etched in our memories. Our enemies acted shrewdly with us, not merely destroying us, but also grieving us terribly so long as the breath of life was in us, because taking the book from the people of the book is a deep, incurable wound to the Jewish soul. The enemy's ambition was to wipe out the name of Israel, heaven forbid, not only from life, but from the book as well." They understood. The Nazis, Yamach Shemam, understood that you can't destroy, the same way that Maharam Rutenberg understood, and all the tzaddikim throughout the generations understood, and all of us understand, that it's impossible to destroy Klal Yisrael unless you destroy the Torah. So at first the Germans ordered the Jews to make up a precise list of the books. Nope, they're crazy people. The Germans wanted that the Svarim should all be cataloged. They wanted to have a list of all the Svarim, and held the Jewish police responsible for enforcement. However, some of the ghetto inhabitants resisted handing over their books. And he writes, "And those Jews persecuted almost beyond endurance, who had already brokenheartedly sacrificed their jewelry and their furs and all else, decided wordlessly, each one separately and all together, this will not be." So he says, Jews who have given up all of their belongings, decided that they will not give up this svar. They're not going to hand over this svar. This is described by Rabbi Ephraim Oshri, who only died a few years ago, the author of the Tshuvas Mimamakim from the Lower East Side. As Rabbi Oshri described it, this is in the Kov Negeta. We decided to protect our holy books with no less and perhaps with greater determination than we protected our lives. Jews of all classes displayed great self-sacrifice on behalf of Jewish books, even risking martyrdom to hide Torah scrolls. Workmen, shoemakers, tailors, carpenters, secular Jews were elevated by this battle to the highest level of sanctity. Jewish children, he writes, stood no lower. They sensed in this battle a deeper aspect. It was a battle over Jewish eternity. The battle that we have with the Goyim over our Svarim is a battle over Jewish eternity. The ghetto Jew was inspired and purified and elevated to the loftiest heights. Young men and old men dug pits and hid volumes of the Gemara, of the Rambam's codes, of Shalos and Shuvas, responsive works, and many other Svarim. These people, as well as others, hid on their premises single volumes of Gemara, a Torah for personal study. I recall how much self-sacrifice Bereshtik Bricker, whom we call Bereshtik the Glazier. No, he was a brickmaker, but they called him the Glazier. I guess he once did that. Used in hiding volumes of Gemara and other works. Rabbi Farmashri writes, I recall how after the decree was issued, I asked my youngsters in the Teferes Bochum, in the Shtiebel, where will we get volumes of the Torah and the Gemara to study? How are we going to learn? The youngsters stood up and declared, don't worry, Rabbi. Each of us will hide a Chumash or a Gemara to study from. Others made a different tough decision. This is all from Rabbi Shri. We will never commit such an abomination, come what may. We will not deliver the holy books into the Nazis' impure hands, no matter what it takes to prevent them from being desecrated by the Germans. It was hot in the ghetto that night, very hot. Jews leaned over their small iron stoves. Instead of taking out the books to the accursed Germans, they preferred to do it with their own hands and pay them their final respects. In other words, it came to a point where it was impossible for the Jews to continue hiding this from. The Germans were surrounding them. And in those last moments before they were taken, Rav Shri writes that instead of allowing the Svarim to be taken into the hands of the Germans to give them over, so the Yidden themselves took the Svarim and they started burning their Svarim. Instead of taking out the books of the accursed Germans, they preferred to do it with their own hands and pay them their final respects. The pages curl and shrink with a dull sound, as if omitting what was written on them. As if to say, your toil and efforts are in vain. You will not succeed in annihilating us. The Germans, you will not succeed in annihilating us. Many have already tried, but to no avail. Broken hearted, we take solace in the fact that we did not betray our books and hand them over to the impure ones. We completed the sacred work and paid our last respects to the holy texts. It was a night of watchfulness in the ghetto, and it was very, very hot. This is from a Jew, Tuvia Barishkovsky, who was a librarian from Radomsk. He was a secular Jew, wasn't a religious person. A librarian from Radomsk, who later on became one of the commanders of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Tuvia Barishkovsky, he writes the following. Perhaps rescuing a library from the Nazis will seem like an odd, strange act. A world is collapsing, and the future of the Jews, perhaps the future of all humanity, hangs in the balance. What value then does a Jewish library in some remote town have? Without putting too much thought into whether or not anyone needs the rescued books. This library was cultivated over the years. I was one of the people who took part in building it, and its last librarian. It was hard for me to abandon it. Perhaps there was a bit of rebellion in this. The Germans were fighting not only against living Jews, but against their culture as well. The Germans weren't only fighting against the Jews who were alive. The Germans were trying to erase the history and to erase the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. It took weeks to hide the library. This is what he was busy with. Of course, we ran the risk of being caught by the Gestapo. We managed to move a few hundred books. I brought the last of the books up to the attic and prayed. Just as I was able to arrange them, Kashas Achinu L'Sadr Ayisai, like by Chassal Seder Pesach, like the end of the Seder. So he said, just as I was able to arrange them, may I be able to see them and to learn from them. Kein Nizke. We should be zeicha to see them and to learn from them. And then, just one last thing. It's an appendix to an earlier chapter called Whole and Shattered Tablets. There's a poem that was written by one of the survivors. It was written in 1946. Obviously, it's translated from the Yiddish. Listen, it's called Jews and Names. Like the Jews, the books in the cities and towns are nothing but heaps of pages and names. Names meaning what? Shames. We, of course, call Svarim that can no longer be used, Svarim that are Chas V'Shalom, that are ruined. We call the pages, we call the parchments, shames, names. So the author of this poem wrote, like the Jews, the books in the cities and towns are nothing but heaps of pages and names. Blessed be the hand that digs through the heaps and pieces together the names. Jew with Jew, holy name with name, whole and pure as in those days. Every Jewish soul has a portion up above, a holy soul, every step of the way. And the names were joined, and the drops were merged, and the souls were cleansed, and the husks were refined. The Holocaust is over. The jackboots are silent. The land is full of knowledge, as waters cover the sea. But he was writing this as they were trying to pick out from the ruins of the ghetto, to pick out some pieces of Gemara and Svar Makedoshim and so on. The Holocaust is over, the jackboots are silent. Molar is there, Hashem, the land is full of knowledge, as waters cover the sea. So the kina that we're going to say now, Shali Srufa Be'esh, is a kina over the shamus, over the names. The Shemus of Hashem, the Askaris, the Shemus, the names of God that our enemies over the thousands of years of our Golas have set to fire. The names of Hashem, the Shemus, all the Sifrei Torah, all the Gemaras and Svarim. The Oisius, Parchas Ba'avir, the names are the names, the Oisius of the Torah, the Oisius of the Neshamas of Jews, that rose up together with the fires, that rose up together with the Gvilim, with the scrolls, the bodies of Jews, and the Shemus, the Neshamas, that are the Shemus, the Askaris, the Shem Hashem, that every Yid is a Sefer that's filled with the Shemus of Hashem. And each and every one of us should say Shali Sufa Ve'esh together with a Tefillah and a Bakosha, that all of the names should be joined back together. That when the Baruch Shem will bring to that time, that it will be Tchias HaMeisim. And somehow in ways that we can't understand, the ashes will be gathered from the earth. And all of the bones, and all that's, and whatever there is that's somehow been absorbed into the world over the thousands of years of our Golos. That when Hashem is Baruch, with the Nisim of Tchias HaMeisim, when he joins together all of the ashes of our grandparents, our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, that the Baruch Shem should join together all of the Shemus, all of the Oisius of his name, from all of the Svar Makedoshim, and that the Baruch Hashem should take Nekama. The Nekama that Marami Rotenberg is expressing here, the shock that the Baruch Hashem gave the Torah, he's an all-consuming fire that should be consumed by man-made fires. And that those alien intruders who burned you escaped unscathed from your flaming coals. That the time should come where the Baruch Hashem will take Nekama. And Ashri Shashayim Lachim Alayich, that the Baruch Hashem should pay back all of those who destroyed the Shemus of Hashem and destroyed Nishmas Yisrael, the Shemus of Hashem, the Neshamas of Klai Yisrael, the goof from the bodies of Klai Yisrael that are the Shemus of Hashem. We should understand what it means when we say Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. Jews have great respect for books. We've never been involved in any book burnings, to my knowledge. Maybe a couple of kanoim, here and there. It's true. I'm not going to say it's not true. You know that there were times that out of kanos and l'shem shemayim, there were books that were burned. It has happened in our history. But even that was everything that happened. We look back now, we understand what that meant, and it was all the same Shemayim, and how it happened, and when it happened. But the time will come soon, Bez Hashem, that all of our Shemus will be brought back to life, and all of the Shemus of our enemies that incited them to kill and to destroy and to pillage, that their tackle will be burned. And we'll see in our lifetimes, we'll see soon a keem of that haftacha of Malar is there as Hashem, that the world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, and all the Torah that was lost will be brought back to us. Ki ayin v'am mechosim v'lul Hashem, amen. Shal Yisufa v'eish l'shleim avilayim.